everybody.
That was so fast.
And welcome back to another episode of Let Me Tell You Why. I'm Tyler Webster, your host, joined as always by my fantabulous co-host, Danielle Laurent.
Hello.
And today's topic, I'm not even going to go through the rigmarole because this is take two because our...
Our audio crapped out on us, and it sucked.
There's so much amazing, hilarious, thought-provoking, and inspiring, tearful content that you're going to miss out on.
I know.
And what you're listening to is the scraps.
Yeah,
nothing but
the
best for our audience. no, you literally didn't miss anything. Okay, yeah, so the topic for today, as stated last week, is music.
Music.
So, Danielle... What is music? How does one music? When can one music? In what situations should one music?
He, she, me, music.
Music. Did you set it to Wumbo?
Yes, set it to Wumbo. Music, if for me.
So stupid.
Music for me is telling. And let me tell you why.
Coming from the lady who wrote The Teller. Okay.
Exactly.
Shameless plug. Am
shameless
I right? Jeez
plug
Louise.
For the
Leave
thing
work
I haven't
at home,
even plugged.
Am I right? Yeah, music for me, I mean, there's what I want to say, which is an opportunity to gatekeep. but then there's, I mean.
It's true.
Music is like one of the most important things in my life. I love music so much. I'm so passionate about it. So I'll just say a huge source of passion and one of the fastest ways to get me to cry.
Is to just show you a really good song.
I have an album called You Like Tears.
What?
And it's full of all the songs that immediately make me cry. And every time I'm just like, I'm sad and I don't know why, I just need to get it out, I just put on the playlist in the shower and I'm like, I don't know why I'm sad. But I feel better.
I feel better after crying for 30 minutes.
My poor roommates are just walking by. They just hear me in the shower sobbing. They're like, is he good? And I'm like, I'm just working through shit. I'm fine.
I'm working through some shit. Let me do it.
Why is Joji so sad?
No. I was going to... So... Where we got stopped on podcast take one was I kind of wore like the perfect shirt for today because this is for a fandom that is known notoriously to be awfully gatekeepy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And
what does the shirt say?
So,
for our audience who
yes.
Can't see us?
So, well, I was gonna.
Okay,
I wasn't just gonna go, and anyway, and move on. No, so me and Samuel are both really big 21 Pilots fans, and 21 Pilots fans are some of the worst humans on the earth. They suck. They are so gatekeepy and so, like, toxic. And I'll admit, I was there at one point, and then I got better because I realized who gives a fuck. Like, just fucking chill.
Yeah.
And, but, like, yeah, it's, I'm at the point now, and I've kind of always been at this point, and just because I've always been at this point, once I had the opportunity to, like, give it back to some people I wanted to, but like my whole life I grew up not knowing all the music everybody else knew, because you know, I grew up in like very Christian household, and so I was listening to mostly like Christian music and then like classic rock from my dad, and so all my friends were like talking about Rihanna and Eminem and all these different like new artists, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of these people.
I've never heard of an Eminem.
like,
what is a Rihanna?
I have never heard of any of these things. And so when...
I just know my 21 Pilots.
Well, I didn't know it then because I'm talking about like middle school, like elementary school.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... Never mind.
No, like elementary school, middle school. And people would always ask me like, oh my gosh, do you know? And like throw out a band or an artist. And I would always be like, no.
And then they scream at you for not knowing it.
Well, they would be like, oh, you've got to be, well, we can't talk to you. And
See?
Just like turn around. And I'm like, okay, I still want to know the, okay. And I would just like fade into like sadness. And then the one time I lied and said, yes, it turned out I did know it. Because then they started playing the song and I was like, oh, thank God I do know this song. Oh, thank God. Because I had just lied. They had been like, do you know the song Take a Bow, you know?
And yeah, well, name three of Take a Bow's songs, huh?
No, it was the song, I think it was a Rihanna song, it was Take a Bow.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That song. And they were,
A Country Mile, holy shit.
Yeah, they were like, you know that song? And I was like, yes. And they were like, oh, awesome. Like, and started like talking about it. And then someone like sang a little bit of it. And I was like, oh, I actually know it. Oh, thank God. And like, and I could actually be a part of the conversation. But because.
And you're trying to play it off too. So you're like, yeah.
I'm just like, that's the song. Yep.
And you're getting to the good part.
Yeah. That's my favorite part, you know. But like, seriously, that would happen to me all the time where people would throw out these bands and artists that I didn't know. And so when I got older and like really got into my own artists that I loved and people like, then I started to like, I don't know, because of, like, everything that was thrown at me, I was like, well, now I get to be toxic. And, like, it was not the right choice, and I don't do it anymore. But, like, it was just such a thing back then, and it's not fun.
Who comes up to someone and gatekeeps with Rihanna? Like, that's the thing. It's like someone coming up to you and be like, yeah, do you listen to Tayo Cruz? I'm like, fucking what? It's like Break Your Heart featuring Ludacris. It's only the biggest song of, like, 2011. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
No, it was more just that,
Pitbull,
like...
Pitbull? Have you heard Pitbull? Mr. Worldwide?
It was less of, like, gatekeeping and more of just if you didn't know it and you weren't aware, then, like, fuck you. Like, you're a fucking loser if you weren't aware of it.
I get that because that was my entire upbringing with music. It was, I was a huge Top 40 slut. I'll go to Star 94 and listen to all the hits, and it's all this bubblegum garbage bullshit that if I could see myself, if I saw myself back then, I'd smack me. and that was it. And I remember, when did your awakening start where you started like listening to other shit?
Well, so it's not like I was always in the Christian music. Like I said, I was also listening to classic rock and stuff because that's what my dad like was always, you know, putting on me. And I've always liked that. Like, you know, I never really like grew out of it. But probably, honestly, high school. It would have been high school. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of when in high school.
Well, I was going to say what bands, like, you know what I mean? Like music ideas kind of got you out of your...
So before we get into that, I want to talk about my first iPod Shuffle for a second.
Oh, my God.
Because... Wow. So my dad gave me an iPod Shuffle.
That was the little rectangle guys, right?
The tiny clip iPod.
Oh, my goodness.
The clip that you could, like, clip to your jacket, like, to your hoodie
thing. What was the little rectangle guy? Was that the Nano?
Well, there was the original, and then the Nano was the square. It was a little square guy.
Who in the hell thought that was a good idea? I had whatever the brick was that had the little readout, the LED readout that was saying, you're listening to whatever.
Yeah, I think that's the original.
That's incredible.
But no, so my first iPod Shuffle, my dad loaded some songs on it because I didn't know how to because I was in middle school. And he loaded, I think, a total of, like, 4 songs on there that he pulled just from, like, popular songs of today. And if I'm remembering correctly, I don't know if I remember every song that was on there, even though it was only 4. Mm-hmm. But I know it was Paparazzi by Lady Gaga. It was Down by, I think it's Jay Sean. The Baby Are You Down, Down, Down,
wow.
Down. It was those two. And
that broke you out of it?
No. I'm talking about this as a lead in to what happened later.
Oh.
What were the other songs I had on there? Maybe it was Party in the USA.
Uh-huh.
It was just like a bunch of random, like, popular songs of the year. And so I deadass for like a year listened to like just those songs. I didn't put any other songs on my iPod Shuffle.
Oh my goodness.
And just because I didn't know how to, it was too much trouble. And then he taught me how to illegally download things, and then I did that.
Oh, wow.
But and we love it. And
incredible.
So then I get into high school, and people are all throwing out bands and things that I don't know, and people are trying to introduce me because I had, like, a weird, like, not great friend group for a while, and their taste in music was not my taste in music, and I knew it wasn't just right off the bat. I was like, okay, I don't like this. And then I got into another friend group that was only okay my sophomore year, and my taste was picking up a little bit, but not that much. The bands that, like, I felt like got me into a decent place was Florence and the Machine. I really liked Coldplay in high school. I'm trying to think of the other bands that I really liked. 21 Pilots was at the end of high school, mm-hmm. was when I discovered them. And then All Time Low. I really liked All Time Low, Rocket to the Moon, Parachute, all of those kinds of bands. So then I started, like, discovering kind of the stuff that I like. But then I realized after high school, I was like, I kind of like a lot of shit, like, yeah. all over the board.
Yeah.
There's specific things that grab me about, like, different types of music. And then there's some types of music that I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
Like what?
Like...
What are some genres now that you're repulsed by?
I mean...
Really alienate some of our audience.
Most country... if you put country in front of me, there's maybe a 0.2% chance I'm going to like it.
That's because it's bad. All right.
Samuel has shown me some songs that I'm like, and some artists that I consistently am like, that's pretty okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hate Keith Urban. I don't hate Brantley Gilbert. I'm okay with those artists. Zach Brown, I've always just kind of been okay with because I'm like, whatever. But then there's most other bands that I'm like, what am I listening to? Like, there's a song called Beer Can in a Truck Bed that he plays in his car.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
It's about sex, and it's about rolling around with a woman like a beer can in a truck bed. That's what it's about.
Beer can in a truck bed.
It literally goes like a beer can in a truck bed. That's the chorus.
It's disgusting.
It's not good.
I want to throw up.
It's not good.
I can't tell you how much I can't stand country music, dude. People are just like, no, it's good. It's like, no, dude, the lyrics are, like, that's the thing, right? When you get past the twang and you know what I mean? Like, that
the grind of my name.
You know what I mean? That kind of fucking country that, you know what I mean? Detuned fucking slide guitar, like, fuck off. So when you get past all that, right, and you're just like, all right. Bo Burnham couldn't have put it better with his country song.
I love his country song
cold beer, cold night.
Cold jeans, scratch that last
one. didn't really fit with the tempo. God damn it. Because I put my hands on her body. It feels like, hey, it's a fucking scarecrow again. God, it's just him talking about, like, stadium, like, that there is a difference between country music and stadium country music. And stadium country music can go fuck itself. And actual country, see, I'm getting gatekeepy again. See, look at me go. Stadium country is trash, ass, awful, bad. In my humble opinion, here's the thing. Right?
And this is something that I think I've talked with both Samuel and with Tyler about, is that all art, and this includes music, is 100% subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And every brain is going to get pinged by something different with, like, art and with music.
Absolutely.
And so, like,
except for country music, which is objectively, demonstrably, and unequivocally bad.
And now Samuel... the episode's not even out yet, but he has sensed a disturbance in the force, and he is on his way here.
He's like,
to
I
want to
sword fight Tyler, and I want to get, like, really aggressive.
I want to just, like, drop the sword and punch him in the mouth.
Well, this is the thing. He's really cool about it because, and because I wasn't a dick about it. Because, like, here's the thing. I make a bunch of jokes, but the God's honest truth is I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
It's all subjective. If you get enjoyment out of it, and this is the God's, my official opinion is if you get enjoyment out of it and it makes you happy, fucking go with it, man.
Like, who cares?
I'm so happy for you. If that's what does it for you, that's great. But if you want to sit down and have an intelligent discussion with me about why it's good, I can't be held responsible for the shit that I say because you're fucking wrong. But with Samuel, I was just like, I'm not gonna shit on your music, but respectfully, it's just country really, really does something to me, and it's not a good thing. And he's really cool. Every time I'm in the car with him, he's just like, "Ooh, country song," and he skips it, and I'm like, "Oh, you didn't have to, but that's nice."
Well, and he's very considerate of the stuff that I hate. Mm. Like, he knows that I don't fuck with Florida Georgia Line.
Oh my God, they're the fucking worst.
I hate Florida, but he loves Florida Georgia Line, and
that's painful, man.
And He won't skip all of their songs because I don't need him to.
Right.
But the song that I hate more than anything else in this world, if you actually play it.
Of course not. No, I'm not going to. I was pulling up a meme. I promise.
Okay. But, like, whenever that specific song comes on, I, like, want to murder everything. Mm-hmm. And I, like, want to just, like, throw up and die.
Yeah.
It's just a gut reaction the second that song comes on. And so he always skips it for me.
What is it?
Which is very kind. It's Cruise.
How does that one go?
I'm not gonna say it because then I.
If
then
you don't say it, I'm gonna play it and we'll get fucking copyright struck.
No, it's the fucking window is down and cruise.
I hate that song.
Yeah, it's a piece of
Samuel's
garbage.
Over here, just like, yeah, dude. There's the the American side for our listeners. The American Psycho meme where he's pointing at the player right before he kills the guy.
that's Samuel when Blur the Georgia whatever. Line comes on. No, but like that song just fills me with so much hatred and rage that he will skip it as soon as it comes on for me, but he jokes all the time. Like he kept joking about like I'm gonna just secretly add it to our wedding playlist, and I was like, if you add it to I will divorce you on the spot. If bro, you add that to our wedding playlist, bro, I will kill you.
You would have seen your reverend who just officiated your wedding scream obscenities in front of all of your friends and neighbors.
I would
and
have
family
gone
members.
To the DJ and been like, you have 10 seconds to pick a different song. I don't care what it is.
Fucking Indian tomahawk just out of nowhere. Who threw that?
Oh my God, no. It's that. That is probably the
Native American, excuse me.
That's probably the only genre that I like really don't fuck with. And then I've discovered through the little homework we've been passing back and forth, which I have thoughts on the second playlist that we can talk about on the way to my house.
Oh, I can't wait. You actually listened to it?
Yeah. I don't know if I totally remember the last song, but all the rest I remember.
Fucking believable.
But
and you think you know someone.
If I listen to it for a second, I probably did. I'll remember it then.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
But no. I've also kind of discovered that when I can tell that the artist is just flexing as hard as they can, and it feels very pretentious to me, and I'm turned off by it.
Oh, that's what gets me turned on.
No,
that's
I get so...
That's what makes me start licking the screen of my phone. I'm just like, yes,
I'm so immediately, like if that's what's happening, like, I don't mind if a song goes hard. I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. But if they're just doing too much, and I'm just like, no. Like, it's not even that I can't take it all in. It's that I don't want to because I'm like, this is just pretentious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not a fan of it at that point.
I'm interested to see which ones you found pretentious.
Well, I told you in the first one, it was that, it was the whatever,
Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
It was the, like, music.
Intro to good music.
It was Dream Suite in C major.
That wasn't even, that
I
was.
I did not fuck with that
one. That was a limit test. Russell actually showed. And that's not true. I found them of my own accord, and then I bonded with Russell over them because they were really weird. I just like the sonic landscape that it creates personally.
I didn't mind that. It's just I felt like the whole time they were just like, you know, we are the masters of all music and fuck you. And I was just like, I don't like when I feel like an
That's
artist
really interesting.
Is just like throwing their dick out in front of me and being like,
it's not gonna suck.
Exactly. And being like, I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Suck my dick. And I'm just like, I don't fuck with it. Like, that's why I've really vibed with Arcadian Wild is because they just like they put it out there and like it's great, but they're not flexing on me like at all. Mm-hmm. It's just their talent and their ability and their like songwriting, and I'm like, I'm here for it. It's all great. I like it. It's great.
The Arcadian Wild, for all of our listeners, your homework is to go and give them a listen. I don't even care if you actually listen to them. Go home. Just skip through all of their discography just so that that you can track the listens, because I am on a crusade at getting these people more listeners because they are the greatest band of all time.
They're very good. I like them a lot.
They're so honest and so vulnerable, and they're so humble. I had a 10-minute conversation with the lead singer because they performed to a concert of 25 people. And me and my ex, I keep wanting to say ex at the time, my girlfriend at the time.
my ex at the time, but we're back together. Surprise, Danielle.
Now, whoa. No. But my girlfriend at the time are just obsessed with these people, right? They're just their music speaks to me in such a fucking honest and incredible way. So I was like, I really hope the crowd's small enough that we could get to talk to them at the end. And there was like 25 people, and I'm like, and then they packed up their stuff, the lights came on, and they just walked out into the audience, and I'm just like, Lincoln, and he's just like, oh my God, are you good? And I'm just like, I'm your biggest fan. I love you guys so much. Can I hug you? And he's just like, oh my God, yeah. Like, he was the sweetest man ever. He's like, oh, come in here, dude. Come in here. He like gives me a kiss on the forehead, and I'm just like, I'm never washing my forehead again.
Oh God.
And I'm just like, we're talking to him because I was like, listen, man, I'm being silly, but the God's honest truth is your song Wander Wonder is, in my opinion, the most moving song I've ever heard for me personally, just because it spoke to a lot of personal shit that I'm going through. And to be able to see you guys perform that on stage and absolutely get it perfect with the emotion and everything legitimately brought me to tears. And I just wanted to thank you for that incredible music experience, because I will never forget that. And he almost started crying. He was just like, oh my God, that meant so much to you? Like, you're serious? And I'm like, I'm being completely honest with you when I say that right now. And he was like getting a little choked up himself. He was like, that's incredible. I'm so happy that our music was able to do that for you. I'm like, your music has done more for me than I can articulate. And please, I don't care what this tour looks like for you guys, please know that your music is touching my soul, so please don't ever stop. And he gave me he didn't even ask. He just took me in for a big hug. He's like, I needed to hear that. And I'm just like, I love you. And we, like, talked for 10 minutes until a bunch of groupies, like, pulled him away. And it was, oh, God, it was a magical night. His lips touched me.
His music touched me, and then his lips touched me.
We're talking about a fun home game for the listeners who are big fans of Let Me Tell You Why is pull up a random episode and then just randomly skip.
Oh, yeah. We were doing that last week because we were trying to find out if he had told a story before, and he was just going to random points in previous episodes, like just skipping through.
Trying to find it.
And it's a very fun game to pull out of context quotes. I recommend it highly. It is very fun.
We come back a couple weeks later, and it's just like, his lips touched me. Incredible.
Oh, my God. No, I'm not sure if I've ever, like, had the opportunity to meet a musician like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've told you about how I met the blues band on the cruise that I was a big fan of.
Yeah, yeah.
And then other than that, I mean, I've gotten very close to musicians, like being in the pit. Like when me and my friends and my sister went to a 21 Pilots concert, we were right in the pit. And we were like holding them up when they did the whole thing where they step out on the audience for the last song, which was just amazing.
I'm just imagining myself being a part of that and being like, like wiping my hand because I'm a big of a germaphobe.
Well, we were holding specifically like Josh's big drum set platform. So it was like a wooden thing. Yeah, he brought a whole drum set out there.
Into the audience.
Yes, and we were all holding it up.
That seems like a hazard.
It was amazing.
That's really cool, but like, what if they just gave up and just like...
Well, I mean, that would have happened to Tyler too, because he literally just stepped out, like just tennis shoes, just stepped onto the audience and people just had to hold him up.
That's incredible.
It's really awesome. That's incredible. But no.
Isn't crowd surfing illegal?
No.
Cool.
I mean, maybe in certain venues, but not everywhere.
Yeah.
I know, like, the people, like, in the crowd surfing can be, like, you know, not let happen in venues. Mm-hmm. But the last concert I went to, it was all crowd surfing with fucking nothing more.
God, that would hurt so bad if they just didn't.
I saw many people just get dropped, and it was very funny.
Like, random strangers jumping up and trying to do it?
Well, yeah, because, like, that's all it is you go to the back of the like pit of the audience, and then you get like a couple of people to hoist you up, and you just hope people are gonna carry you all the way to the front of the
and
stage.
They just fucking drop you?
Not always. There was one guy who like so dead at, I'm not kidding, he had a fake calf, you know, like a prosthetic leg, and he just took it off and put it to the side and had his friends hoist him up and just starts going. He went like 5 times across the
Holy
audience.
Shit.
And
forgot your leg.
You forgot your leg, bro. No, like he would hold it so that when he got back down, he could like pop it back onto his knee.
Oh. But, you said put it down to the side. I was just like, keep it here when I get back.
Keep it here.
But what if he doesn't get back? What if he doesn't get back? He needs his leg.
No, but like that was my first time going to like a heavy concert like that. Because 21 Pilots is not like that. It's people are big fans and there are people like, you know, smoking and shit. But it's not a mosh pit like freaking out like
you
crowd
the
surfing
wrong
place.
Fucking guy.
That is not
I'm
what it was.
Never going to one of those. It sounds terrifying.
Well, and here's the thing. You know something I thought about. I kind of get the whole idea of moshing. If I was bigger, I would probably do it. But because of my size, I do not even want to try.
It's not even about size. It's just don't put your hands on me. I will fucking freak the fuck out.
I kind of get it to an extent. Like, I thought about it more and I was like, okay, it's not like as crazy. But no, like, I will never crowd surf because I can't trust people. But yeah. But lots of people would crowd surf, and some people successfully made it all the way down to the front, and then the security guards would just help them get down and then go back around. But there were many people that hopped up and came straight back down. And like, and no one like slammed on the ground, because they would usually fall on somebody and then like, so, you know, someone broke their fall. So it wasn't anything like devastating, but still pretty terrifying to see.
Yeah.
No, that is just, and that's one crazy thing from that concert. It shows just how like different people's tastes are.
Right.
Because I told you at that concert, there were two, there was Nothing More, the band that we were there to see with Russell. And then there was three other bands, one of which was a band called Asking Alexandria. I did not fuck with them at all.
Really?
I hated it. Their set was the longest set of the night. Ooh. They weren't even the closers. They went for like an hour or over an hour, and I hated it. I was just sitting there waiting for it to end.
Those are the screaming guys, right?
Well, I mean, they kind of all, they're all kind of screaming guys. Oh. Everybody that night was, but yes, they are. And they're like a British band, and they came out. And for me, when I go see a concert, I want to be both blown away musically and visually. That's the only reason I'm there.
Show me
something. Like, show me something that I can't see. Show me something that I can't hear just on, like, on Spotify. Like, show me something different. And the first couple of bands did that. They showed a really great performance, really great energy. I was here for it. Nothing More blew me away. It was this, like, a beautiful performance of just crazy shit. He came out, he was like shirtless with paint all over his body, and like then the paint just like changed color at one point.
That's
it was
fucking
crazy.
Cool.
I don't know when he did it. I have no idea, but what I think he came out and it was like mostly like black paint, and then he came out and it was like all the black paint was now red. And I was like, that's crazy.
That is really crazy.
And like there was a drum set that he could climb on, and it was made out of like a bunch of like buckets and stuff, and he would climb on it. And like
smaller drum sets.
Made out of a bunch of small drum sets, like very small.
That's crazy.
But he would jump up and like grab it, and it would go vertical so that he could like hang off of it like a monkey.
What
it was really cool.
That's cool.
And I loved it. And all of that was awesome. But then these guys, they're there before Nothing More, because Nothing More is closing. And they are so boring visually. Like, their music was fine, I guess, although it all kind of sounded the same to me. It was all the vibe of, I hate every living person, don't talk to me, fuck off. And all the music pretty much sounded the same. And it's not like I could hear the lyrics anyway, because it was so loud in there that I'm like, the music has to be what sticks out.
Right.
And then the guy is literally just walking around the stage in his sunglasses in a dark room, just like, like, just singing and doing dumb shit and, like, occasionally screaming. And Sam's having, like, a spiritual experience. Over here, like freaking out about how much
levitating.
He loves it. Yeah, like fucking being lifted into the air by this song. And I'm sitting there like, oh my god, I need like three shots if I'm gonna enjoy this. Like, holy shit, this is the most boring concert I've ever seen. And I've been to some pretty awful, just like side of the road concerts, and this is terrible.
Drinking in a concert's fun as fuck.
It was just like, it was so bad. And then like afterwards, he was like, dude, I fucked with that band. That was so good. And now it comes on in the car and I'm just like, at some point he's gonna drag me to see them and I'm gonna have to be like plastered. I'm gonna have to be plastered or else I'm gonna hate it, because I was standing there for an hour just like, oh my god, when is Nothing More coming on? Holy crap, this sucks. Like, I was begging for them to finish their set. It was terrible. I hated it. Like, you cannot take me to a concert and bore me like that. It is a crime.
The only concert I've ever walked out on, there's a band called Saint Motel. A fairly popular...
You sent me one of their songs.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, because my brother and I were huge fans of Saint Motel, and we'd listen to them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the song I showed you, Daydream, Wet Dream, Nightmare, is still...
Yes.
It's still a bad... It's still fucking slaps. Like,
I liked it.
Because it's very good. And I like what it... I like the concept of what it does. We saw them live.
Mm.
They were fucking atrocious. They were... atrocious. And it was that the openers weren't great. They were passable, but we're just like, all right, let's get the fucking point. Come
on.
I'm starting to get a little bored, right? You're not really impressing me or wowing me or doing anything crazy. So it's time for St. Motel. Okay, great. We got our drinks. We're feeling ourselves. Let's go, right? It's me, my brother, and my ex. And Tanner and I are excited, right? We've tied a few on. It's like we've been fans of these guys for forever. They fucking ate ass.
Oh God.
They were terrible. The problem was it wasn't even the leveling, but the singer like did not know how to sing into the microphone and also wasn't singing.
What?
He was doing this like slam poetry. I don't feel like singing, so I'm just going to talk through it.
What?
You know what I mean? It's like,
no, I don't know what you mean. That's absurd.
Yeah. So, what is it? Oh God, I'm trying to think of one of their fucking songs that has actual lyrics to it because I've like blocked them out completely. What's their song that they're fucking famous for? Hold on, I'm sorry. They're famous for this for a couple of songs, and they go through it, and it's him singing, and he's singing, he's getting into it, Oh my fucking God. Hold on. This is the best thing that everyone wants to hear.
Yeah, it's just a guy spazz the fuck out.
Hold on.
Let me figure it out.
Hold on. I'm getting there. And he got there. See, it's that easy. Black screen. My type.
Black screen.
So the lyrics are sweet talk, everything you say, it sounds like sweet talk to my ears. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a romp, right? It's a great song. It's my favorite song on their discography, right? And he goes, sweet talk, everything you say, it sounds like. And it's like, I'm going to come unglued. But the background singers are singing the backup vocals, right? So they're doing the harmonies.
Yeah.
It sounded like shit. The stagecraft was awesome. They did this whole thing where because they had all these different LED screens, right? These monitors all throughout the stage. And they were all, like, synced up with one another, right? And they all looked like they were on a snowy mountaintop, like a big snowdrift comes by. And then you see this big open expanse, you know what I mean? That's kind of perforated by the band of this mountain. And it's beautiful. It's like this drone shot coming through the mountains.
Yeah.
And then a big snowdrift comes by. And you see the lead singer comes in a full parka with a big, like, he's skiing, like he skis onto the stage. And he like takes off, and then he's in his like fucking badass outfit. He's like in a suit and tie, and he starts singing. And we're like, okay, that's cute. Let's go. Let's make it happen. I'm singing the song, and we're gonna do it. And it's just like, I'm gonna beat you to death with a blunt object.
Oh my god,
this is terrible. And it was the first musical. It was the first concert we ever walked out on. I looked at my brother, and I'm just like, look, buddy, I know we paid a lot for these tickets. This sucks dick. Are you feeling this? And he's like, I'm not feeling this worth a fuck. And it was like maybe 30, 40 minutes in. So we gave it a good chance.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a song on their new album called like Let's Give It Up for My Fucking Sister or something. It's so stupid. It's really bad and also horrible.
Really bad and also bad.
What is it called? It's like Sisters. And yeah, Sisters. Fucking that simple. And it's just really cheesy, campy. It's just like, my sister is fucking great. And it's like, it was not good. It was the worst song on their new album. So I'm like, I really hope they don't sing that stupid fucking Sisters song. And then it's all these like stars and stripes and banners. And it's like the old, like circa 1950s kind of stars and stripes kind of aesthetic. And I'm like, dear my sister. And I'm like, God damn it. We're leaving. We're leaving. We're leaving. We're leaving.
It was the straw that broke the camel's back. Sisters are not allowed in this house.
Not with this mistress.
Not welcome.
Not welcome. It's just fucking awful. So we left and that was it. And that was atrocious. So what was the best concert? And we got off the topic because I really do want to get there, but we'll come back to it. We'll end it how we started. What was the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, easily 21 Pilots. Easily.
When did you start listening to 21 Pilots?
I was listening. It was after Vessel, but before Blurry Face.
Do you know what year that would be?
Would be 2013, 2014.
Damn it.
Why? Did you want to gatekeep me?
I was gonna be a dick. I was gonna be like, yeah, I started listening to 21 Pilots around right at the beginning of 2014. Yeah, it's pretty early. 8 years. Yeah. But if you started in like 2015, that's fine too. Yeah.
No,
I don't listen to 21 Pilots.
No, it was absolutely 2013, 2014, because it was my senior year of high school and I graduated in 2014.
Okay.
So
checkmate. You got your beat.
So we but I have like great memories associated specifically with like discovering them because mm-hmm. it was back when we were doing all like the urban exploration stuff and like
yeah.
that crew was together all the time, always riding in the same friend's car.
Yeah.
Who always would like turn on like 21 Pilots, Walk the Moon, Young the Giant, all that kind of stuff.
Young the Giant's one of my favorites. Oh, I love them. I didn't put them on the on the thing that I sent you just because it's
you absolutely
like,
did.
I did?
Yes, there's two of them on there.
Because they're fucking great.
Dude, there's
Young
two
the
of
Giant
them on there.
Slaps, dude.
No, you.
I'm dancing on a tightrope.
Like, yeah, dude. You put that one on there.
Oh yeah, it's probably because it's a good song. You should listen to Young the Giant.
Well, and that's the thing. I've always liked Young the Giant. They just don't like they don't like grip me in my gut like other bands and songs do. And I guess that's my question is
quietly judging, that's okay.
No, it's not even that. It's like there are certain things in music that have to happen for me to want to actively go back and listen to that song about 30 times in a row.
Three key changes per song. What else? I know that's the first criteria.
That's not the first criteria. No, because
they need to sing in two different languages.
No,
during the song.
No, this is something
and it
that
needs to be in a 5/8 time signature.
Needs to be a 5/8 only. All of my playlist is only 5/8 time signatures. No, but me, Samuel, and Russell have talked about this before, or at the very least, I've heard that Russell has kind of my same thing with this, where. Samuel is blown away by the fact that me and Russell both, like, when we hear a song that we really love, we need to go back and just listen to it on repeat a million times.
Mm.
And it's because I want to dissect it and figure out why I love it as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then get to the point where, like, I want to get to the point where it goes from gold to silver because I've now discovered why I love it.
Mm.
And it's not even like it actually goes from gold to silver, but just in like the instant obsession fascination, it fades.
And then
like,
you can hang it up in the closet.
And then I can hang it up in the closet and I can revisit it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if a song doesn't immediately do that to me.
Same thing.
If a song does not immediately make me go, ooh, let me listen to that again and turn it and just hit the back button and listen to the whole thing again, then like I still probably like it. I still like it. I don't love it.
Right.
Because and that's the whole thing is that I try not to say that I love a song unless it's given me that reaction mm-hmm. where I'm just like, ooh, let's go back. Let's listen again immediately.
So it's funny that you say that because the playlist that I had sent you was a playlist specifically comprised of all of those songs. Of all of the songs that are in my closet of good music that I will bump. Like, that I bump to the point where it's like, all right, I'm going to retire this for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them, painstakingly, I was like, okay, which ones have I like dissected because I love so much?
Mm.
And so that's what you were listening to.
Interesting. We're going to have lots to discuss after the podcast.
I can't fucking wait.
No, but that's how it is for me, is that like, you know, and I can't always nail down what it is, but like I told you when you sent me the first thing, is mm-hmm. I was like, I need to, because you sent me Wander Wonder, and I was like, I need time with this,
yeah.
because it didn't give me, I don't know why my brain works this way, but my brain needs rhythm, and I just hear rhythm and melody and the instruments the first, like, 10 times I listen.
There's another factor, though. I also overhyped it.
That's not even it.
Really?
No, because with music, unless it's been hyped like past a certain point,
mm-hmm.
I can usually like just put my expectations at neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was just simply that I have to have a certain amount of like just sheer musical stimulation, not lyrical.
Yeah.
Because I can't hear the lyrics usually.
Yeah.
If you sent me Erase Me, like way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I had to listen to it about 5 or 6 times until I finally started hearing the message.
Yeah.
Because I just don't listen to lyrics the first set. I want to hear the music. I want to hear the way the melody moves. I want to hear all of those factors first and then get to the message.
So it's funny that you say that because my experience with music is a lot different. My ADHD brain kind of, it both allows and forces me to focus on a lot of things at the same time. That's why some of my best advice is given when I'm sitting on the couch playing video games and talking to you, right?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking, and I'm telling you exactly how I feel in this moment. It's a mindless little something just to keep my fingers moving and that part of my brain focused, but I can sit here and talk to you.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I love super fast, flowy, lyrical rap. You know, satirical, lyrical, miracle, individual, you know what I mean? Like that kind of shit where they're just like, every time I get a beat, I know I got to beat it up. And then just like, they just fucking go. Ah, like that shit is hype as fuck. And I love it because then I've listened to so much of it. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. I'm hearing the fucking lyrics. So like, it was to the point where there's this new song that I was showing you just a tiny little taste of on the new Kendrick album, which is incredible. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, check it out. United in Grief, it's how he opens the album, and it's the best song on the album in my opinion. But he has a pretty consistent flow. It's pretty fast. And I'm sitting here, I'm listening to it. I'm like, okay, it's basically the same flow, which is not bad, but it's the same flow, just with different words. And then I pulled up a lyric sheet and I was able to like rap alongside of him after like my third or fourth listen. And I was like, let's fucking go. So like it just and you can I can hear the words, but one part of my brain listens to the words and the other part of my brain listens to the music. So that's listening to both at the same time. And as soon as something jumps out that gets me, be it a musical lick that I thought was really cool or a lyric that I thought was really moving, I'll audibly in my car privately go, ooh, okay, let's go. Or it's like someone says some shit, I'm like, oh fuck, that was hard, that went hard. And it's funny too because I'm completely alone, so it's just me, myself, and I listening to this rap song, and he'll say something really, really gangster, really, really hood, and I'm like, that was fresh, oh my goodness.
Just the absolute whitest way to respond to that.
My homie. That was, you know what? I'm going to say it. That was dope.
Good golly.
Goodness gracious.
Goodness
that
gracious.
That was fire.
No, I tend to, I don't know, and then I have moments of songs or like specific things in songs that if they work really well, I can like feel it in like my chest, essentially. In high school, it was the song Drumming Song by Florence and the Machine. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
You showed it to me.
Did I?
Remember when we were...
No, I showed you Various Storms and Saints. I did not show you Drumming Song.
Sorry for that audio clip, but no. I pounded the table because I was like, she did!
No, because the one I showed you was on an album that wasn't even out when I was in high school. No, but it was a very rhythmic song where it's mostly...
It's called Drum Circle?
It's called Drumming Song. We can listen to it on the way to my house if you want.
We
but
will.
It was my Drum favorite line. Song for my entirety of high school. Because I was just obsessed with it. And I had like a vision of like a movie I wanted to write centered around just an idea I had while listening to that song. That I still think about whenever I listen to the song. Mm. But no, like rhythmic, really interesting syncopated beats or counter melodies, especially if it's treble versus bass, I'm obsessed with. Like in the, I know you haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon, but there is a...
I'm finna.
There is, honestly, yes. There is a moment in the test drive, whatever, where he's like first, you know, where he's first like, you know, working on training the dragon. And then like, you know, it's the whole song behind that scene.
And he's like talking about the tutorial because he's writing the book.
Yes. He's talking about the tutorial.
He's like, step one, step one, the dragon.
Get on dragon. Step two, don't fall off. Step three,
step
profit.
Step two, fly the dragon.
step three, profit. So, but there is a bit in it where like, you know, he starts like falling and all the music gets it's chaotic and crazy and all this stuff. And then, like, when the recovery happens, there is this gorgeous moment in the music that gets Samuel every time, where it's all the high-pitched, like, violins and flutes coming in. For me, it's when, like, the bass and the trumpets come in under it, like, a few beats later when he really, like, kicks it into gear.
Mm.
And it's just such a gorgeous counter-melody that I'm obsessed with it. And
really?
That's it's one of the few instrumental songs that I just have on my liked playlist. It's called Test Drive. Yeah, if you scroll to it, you'll see it. I don't know where it is on there, but it's on there somewhere.
We'll find it.
But I am obsessed with it. It is so good. Yeah. And it's stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, I discovered with, like, Hey Runner hitting me as much as it did, that those syncopated, really fast, weird rhythms really get... Because if you hear a drumming song, you'll understand exactly why Hey Runner hit me the way that it did.
That stuff gets me.
Like,
but here's the thing,
stuff.
Right? That syncopated kind of, like, that's, dare I say, that's smart people music.
Oh, Tyler.
That was almost a spit take.
Are we gonna get into this? Are you gonna finally say your thoughts on the one and the only best artist of our generation? The Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift is bad. Taylor Swift is not good. She's bad. There was a time where I felt obligated to say that she wasn't. That time is no longer. She's bad. I don't like her. Her music is trite, repetitive, boring, and she thinks she's really fucking smart, and I'm sure she's a very intelligent individual. It does not reflect in her music.
Well, and here's the thing. I, like, as far as just as a person, I have absolutely no issue.
Likewise. There
no
is
issue at all.
Artists completely separate from the art. Right?
Yeah, that's how I always
I'm
try
sure
to
she's
look
great.
At it. Yeah.
I'm sure she's great, and I wish her nothing but the best. I don't wish ill on her whatsoever. Her music is if good music is two parallel lines working lovely just like right together, right?
Okay.
And then you got some curves, maybe you got some breaks, right? But it's still, you know, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's a little wobbly. Maybe it kind of goes off in its own thing. This makes a lot more sense with my hands.
Yeah, he's doing a nice little,
you're doing the same thing. They can't hear you.
Well, we have a camera, so we could technically.
They can't. They're not going to hear that. They're not going to see that.
They're not going to hear the camera.
They're not going to hear the camera, and they're not going to see the audio. So, she is the perpendicular line that collides directly into mine and makes me angry and upset.
So she is your Florida Georgia line for me.
I don't know. Florida Georgia line gets me pretty upset. they can both be wrong. It's not an exclusive club of musicians that piss me the fuck off.
There was a period in time where I was a huge Taylor Swift fan. It was when I was 11.
That's okay.
I was from 11 to 13. I was a very big Taylor Swift fan, and I saw her in concert in Atlanta, actually.
I almost said something really mean.
What did you almost say?
Yeah, the appropriate time to be a Taylor Swift.
Oh my God. So many people are about to feel so alienated. Here's the thing, and it's like what we said at the beginning of the podcast.
There's that bridge burnt.
Here's the thing. And it's like what we said at the beginning of the podcast, at least for me. If it's not for Tyler, then, you know, whatever. But for me, if she makes you happy, fucking whatever. Go
exactly.
ahead and enjoy it. It's just music. You enjoy it. Who gives a fuck?
And,
like,
and that's
who
and
cares?
I go back to the same thing. It's the same thing, right? I'm not talking about her music is bad to the point where if you listen to her, you're bad.
No,
I'm going to make
of course
jokes and I'm
going to
tease
no.
because it's funny.
Yeah,
because
it's fun.
It's tongue in cheek. I don't mean anything by it. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. However, I can't fucking stand her goddamn lyrics. I can't stand.
I don't think I realized until recently when I attempted to. So I have had voice
rediscover.
Students. Well, not even rediscover. Well, I guess kind of just that one song, because I have had so many students, because I teach voice, come to me and be like, yeah, you know, I really like Taylor Swift. And so to give them a song that, like, both works for what I want to teach them and that they'll enjoy, I go through her, like, I went through her discography to try to find a few options for one of my my students and was like, okay, this song I think is pretty good. This song I think is pretty good for you. This one's more of a challenge if you want to do it. And like gave her a bunch of options and then she picked a couple.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went and in some parts I was totally thrown back to my, you know, 11 through 13 year old days and listening to her first album ever, which is not good. it's what Our Song is off of.
And
I listened to that one recently because I went into a CVS to just like get something. I don't know. And they were playing, I think they were playing her song Teardrops on My Guitar. Which sounds like a fake song.
It sounds Taylor Swift. That's a great way to put it.
It sounds
Taylor
fake.
Swift's music sounds like someone who's jokingly making music.
Like, well, specifically that song sounds like a Bo Burnham like number, Teardrops on
yes.
the guitar.
But Are it's you a real kidding
song.
Me?
It's a real song, and I heard it inside the CVS, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna listen to the old album." And I pulled it up on Spotify, and I was having fun just because I was just nostalgic and just yeah. throwing back to that time by the pool with all my friends.
There's
like
nothing wrong with a little nostalgia.
Like, yeah. Did I add any of them to my liked songs? Nope, because there's a time and a place for them.
I went back and watched a fucking episode of Power Rangers like 3 weeks ago just because I was like...
Just because it's fun.
I was like, it's nostalgia. It's whatever, but I don't go back and rewatch the fucking Power Rangers, my guy. Come on.
No, but that's the thing is that, you know, everyone has their own tastes and their own things that speak to them. Mm-hmm. And I think she is a good example of like a really interesting dividing line with a lot of people. Because there are people who despise her, like you, mm-hmm. that just are like, she is awful, like she's terrible, like, you know, not her, but her music is. And just going in on all of that. And like, and then there's people who aren't, who are just like.
Who are terrible. Not her. Oh,
no.
God. The music.
No. I genuinely didn't mean her. I meant
no,
the music. But,
I mean
but no. And then there's people who really, really fuck with her and are like, you know, this is my music. I love it. It speaks to me. Like, all of that.
Go with God.
Yeah, and it's very, it's honestly just kind of intriguing to me that, like, you know, people just naturally how we are so attracted to such different things.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think yeah. that's really cool. There are people out there who, like, I'm sure are like diehard Pitbull fans.
Yeah.
And like, and that's just like what they fuck with. They're like, this is the fucking shit. This is the best thing ever. And it's like, dude, you know, I may not agree, but if you get that much joy out of it, then, you know, have at it, dude.
I
like,
think
that's
I get,
awesome.
I think I get what you're saying. It's like, there are people out there who like are Jewish.
and then
there are people
are
who like the, yeah, oh, damn it. Yes, that was the punchline. And then there are Nazis. I was going to build up to it and be like, there are people who are Jewish. There are people who like Jews. There are people who are like, don't really know a lot about the culture. And then there's neo-Nazis.
That
Taylor Swift is to music as neo-Nazis are to Jews.
That is the title of the episode. Taylor Swift is a neo-Nazi.
That's a relationship that's never coming back.
Oh, no, goodness. God. No,
For
but like.
For context.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
For context, I had, wow. Should I do that?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. I wasn't going to go into crazy detail. I just was going to fill in the blanks.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to fill in the blanks for them. They can deal with it. We don't fill in the blanks for them all the time.
Sorry for the blue balls, everyone.
Sorry. But we know you were just dying to know where that all came from.
You all are smart. You get the context clues. You know
I'm sure.
On.
But no, because I tried to go back and listen to one of the songs I discovered listening for my voice student that one time, because I was like, I remember this one not being, like, you know, really bad, and then I listened to it, and I was like, okay, yeah, it is, it's not great, like, because what I texted you a
it's
whole
not great,
breakdown, I was like, here's the thing, I respect the intent, mm-hmm. I can tell that she tried, mm-hmm. it's still not very good. Except for one part of the song that I was like, it's actually okay when he gets to, like, the bridge and she's, like, getting a little more freeform with it and, like, just letting things flow a little more. It felt more like just, like, a little indie jam, and I was like, I'm okay with that. But then she went back to the chorus, and I was like, okay, now we're back to where we were before.
Yeah.
But no, like, it is whatever vibes with you, and it's intriguing that it's different for every single person.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it's telling before, because, like, it really gives me, it gives me both a lot and no insight at all into, like, a person.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a person's music taste does say a lot about them.
It does.
Right? Because, like, what does it say about their tastes if they're really into, like, aggressive, like, angry, angsty rock? Right? What does that tell you about them?
Well, I mean, we know a couple of people who are super into
it. A lot of people in our circle are really into it. And so I'm not saying anything bad on them. I love all of you guys. It's not a bad on you guys. What does it say, though?
Well, and that's the interesting thing is that sometimes I feel like it says a lot and it explains, like, just because a person's personality matches what they listen to. Mm-hmm. And then there are people that it doesn't match up at all. Like,
I think underlying. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess.
So
yeah.
It's because it's like if you're like, and this is a shot in the dark, and I could be wrong. And all of our listeners, jump in the comments, right? Let me know if I'm wrong.
Tell Tyler he's wrong. He loves it.
It's the best. So I would argue, because, like, okay, if you were to pick one genre that you're just like, you know what, I'm stapling myself to this genre, what would it be?
Ooh, that's not easy because I don't even have, like. Whenever people are like, give me your favorite song or your favorite band, I'm like, I don't got one, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Just because it changes, like, all the time.
Of course.
And so I really don't know.
Just a genre.
I guess rock, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
But, like, to the broadest sense.
So it says here on this little chart that I pulled up, it says that you're an asshole.
I inputted rock as your music, and when he turned the phone around, it said fuck you, you're an asshole.
That's crazy. No, it doesn't say that. The screen's blank. I'm lying to you. No, it's like I feel like if you're, like, into super, like, aggressive shit that you either outwardly or inwardly are just, like, you want to get some shit out when you're listening to it, right? I know for me and my pretentious-ass fucking snobby, look at all these complex things that we're doing, we're so smart, and I'm, like, listening to them with a glass of wine going, I'm smart for listening to them. like, I feel like that tracks because they're pretentious, and so am I. It's a perfect match.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, I've told you before, I don't like when people, like, I feel like are talking down to me at all. And when a song I feel like is almost talking down to me.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I'm going to literally.
I'm sorry, listeners at home. Take that. Don't ask me for another one. No, there was a bug on the mic, so.
Was there actually a bug on
there
the mic?
There actually was a bug on the mic. I wasn't trying to give
them
ASMR.
ASMR smacking. Like ASMR fucking. Like
ASMR. I'm going to simulate punching you in the fucking mouth.
Get ready. Here it comes. No, I totally.
How was that?
What was I even talking about before you attacked the microphone?
That's a great question.
Music is interesting, and let me tell you why.
What were you talking about?
Well, we are getting low on time, so do we want to go to our other segment?
Yeah, let's try and speed run it because I know we're really low on time. So let's speed run the.
We
advice.
Are fairly low on time. Yeah, so I will go in here really fast. Tell me right now if you had to just like today. The first band that pops into your head is like a potential favorite band.
I would probably say Arcadian Wild just because I'm like I haven't even listened to a whole lot of their stuff recently, but I'm just absolutely obsessed with their stuff. Arcadian Wild, Jacob Collier, Tech N9ne will always be my music dad. He actually, as ridiculous as it would seem. Tech N9ne was what helped get me into music because I stumbled across, and this is actually a really interesting story while you're pulling that up.
Yeah.
I would just listen to the top 40s, right? And once upon a time, there was an app that was released called Bing Top 100s of the Decades.
Okay.
Right? Or for each year. And so it would just let you stream the top 100 songs for all the years past. So I would just go through and just listen to shit, right?
Okay.
And some fucking, like, 2007, number 89 on the list was He's a Mental Giant by Tech N9ne. And it physically moved me how much it slapped. It went hard. The flows were fast. What he was saying was dope. And I was like, this is so cool. So I looked up Tech N9ne and then bada bing, bada boom, start listening to him, right? And I kind of fell off for a little bit. And then I forgot about him. And I was looking up something about, like, I was looking up Welcome to the 60s from Hairspray. And it said Welcome to, and it remembered my my device at the time, my iPod Touch, remembered that I loved Tech N9ne. So it's like, do you mean Welcome to the Midwest by Tech N9ne? And I was like, no, what is that? And they basically took the song Sway.
Yeah.
You know, by Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
And used that as the sample for the rap song that they're doing about, instead of, like, you know, it doesn't really matter where you, but they do it, it doesn't really matter where you go, where you've been, beautiful foreign lands you've been in. And it's like talking about how, like, you know, no matter where you go, the gunplay's gonna find you. We got the Gat and we're fucking, we're coming to get you. And it's so dope because it's got this super fast flow. And I'm like, I'm obsessed with this guy. And this is back when iTunes was a thing. I spent over $1,500 over my entire musical career buying music.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah.
That is absurd.
Yeah. Because every Christmas.
When pirating exists, why would you do that?
Remember, I was a goody two-shoes for a long fucking
time.
Well,
so was I. But, when it was shown to me, like, hey, you know, you can kind of just do this, I would just do it.
I'm not going to go. I'm not going to have the I legitimately thought the FBI would come to my house.
Are you serious?
I'm not only serious, I'm dead fucking serious.
For downloading LimeWire?
I wholeheartedly believed the FBI would show up to my house. And I went, I'll use the iTunes gift card my grandmother gave me for Christmas. Thanks.
Wow.
And so every year, because every Christmas, every Halloween, every gift card, every everything, here's your iTunes gift cards, right? Wow. So it was never really my money. But I have an iPod. It's in that box over there. It's an iPod Touch with $1,500 of the shittiest music you've ever heard.
Oh, please. I got to hear. What is it?
It's a lot of top 40 stuff. So it's like, you know, but because there was no, I didn't know how to make a playlist. So it was everything. Right.
Well, that's how I, and am. I would buy. I don't make playlists.
Oh, my God.
I put them all together.
I make playlists now. But, so it's everything. It's you'll be listening to Welcome to the 60s from the Hairspray album, and then it'll take you, because I buy it by album, and then you'll hear a skit from Tech N9ne where it's a bunch of people like faking doing a seance and summoning a demon. And it's like, that was lovely. And then it's Dynamite by fucking whoever sang
you
Dynamite.
You just described me and Samuel's everything. Every time we get in a car, that's our playlist.
And so, like, it, like,
he goes from, like, Hunchback of Notre Dame to Florida Georgia Line to Asking Alexandria to 21 Pilots to Guns N' Roses back to another country song. Like,
I've existed in your car hearing that exact lineup.
That's what it is.
And so, like, so that shit's fun. I'll never forget. This is, oh my God. Oh my God. This is Baby Pretentious Tyler.
Oh,
holy
God.
Fucking shit. This is such a memory. I'm a sophomore in high school. And I'm very fresh. I'm a freshman or sophomore. I think I was a freshman. Actually, I know I was a freshman. And, man, I fucked with the live action Cat in the Hat, Mike Myers, like you would not believe.
I did.
Because it fucking slaps. So, and
people always say it's a nightmare zone, and I'm like, yes, and I love that.
It's a Western nightmare zone. The Cat in the Hat is a Western. Anywho, that's a topic for another day.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
Just YouTube The Cat in the Hat is a Western, and you'll understand. So the song that plays them out is this, like, really groovy bossa nova fucking, like, and you get around in your tangerine speedo, right? And it's just like, and I'm like, I remember talking to my brother. I'm flipping through. I've just downloaded my fucking iTunes gift card. And I'm scrolling through. I'm like, what music are we adding to the shuffle today, boys, right? And I'm just like, you know, Tanner, I'll tell you something. He's 4 years younger than me. He's a young child at this point, right? Getting ready to start his first day at middle school.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
just like, you know, Tanner, I'll tell you something. Cat in the Hat soundtrack's pretty good. I'll tell you right now. Let's take a look at that final song, that song in closing. Tangerine Speedo by fucking somebody.
Orange Tangerine Julius Speedo or some fucking, by Orange Julius.
Some whack ass. I don't even remember, right? Tangerine Speedo. Speedo. Caviar.
By Caviar.
By Caviar. And I downloaded all of Caviar's album.
What?
Because I'm like, if that song's good, all of them must be good. Oh. And that's how I spent my money. Because I listened to one song and went, well, looks like their entire disc. That was what happened with Tech N9ne. I bought 5 albums because I listened to 2 of his songs.
Oh, my God,
and you know what? Best decision I ever made in my life. Because by listening to him and being taking a risk and going, wow, this was really good, I went, well, this guy's not that popular. Like, no one talks about this guy. The industry doesn't like him. Let's fuck with some other undiscovered, right? Tanner showed me this group. I'll give you – this is the last timeline, and then we'll get to the thing. Tanner showed me this group. Two Door Cinema Club.
Yeah, yeah.
And he listened to them because they were featured on a track. They were featured on a track. Jesus Christ, on the FIFA soundtrack. Because okay. He was a big FIFA player. He played a lot of FIFA. And so he listened to them, and he's like, dude, you got to bump this shit. He showed me Wolfpack. He showed me fucking, yeah. Like, all those, like, kind of hipstery kind of music
vibe.
Yeah,
very, like, indie.
Yeah. And it was just such a fucking bop. So I got the Pandora, right, before streaming was...
I got the
Pandora app, and I plugged in Two Door Cinema Club. And it showed me all these whack-ass undiscovereds. Well, I say undiscovereds. Really, like, low-key indie artists.
Yeah.
And then it showed me a song that legitimately changed my musical life. Legit. Called Goodbye, Mr. A by the Hoosiers. And I was enamored. They were my favorite band for 5 years. A very, very long time, I would swear by them. Right?
Okay.
Obsessively, their entire discography, except for The Secret to Happiness. Or not, wait. Yeah, I think it's The Secret to Happiness. That one's a little rough. But outside of that, it's all bangers, incredible sound. I love them. They're amazing. Show me more.
Mm-hmm.
And I got lower and lower and lower down on the totem pole, just collecting like a fucking with a big scythe, just harvesting crop of random whack ass songs no one's ever heard of. And as I got older, so did my tastes also matured, and I found this really sick pleasure in being like, people like, oh man, who are you listening to? Oh, you know, I'm just listening to some band or other that no one really, really listens to. They got very few. You may have heard of them. They were, I had an example. How funny, how cringe. you may have heard of them. Sungazer? Have you heard of Sungazer? You listen to any Sungazer recently? No. Yeah, most of their music is not in a 4/4 time signature, but, you know, that's I think that's what really makes their music special. You know, I just have an adapt palate that I can appreciate such musical taste.
That's what would always kill me with people that were like you, but they didn't actually listen to, like, underground bands. They'd be like, yeah, this band's, like, really underground. And I'd be like, who are they? And they're like, I don't know if you've heard of them, the Arctic Monkeys. And I'd be like, yeah, I've heard of them. And they're like, oh my God, like, no one's ever heard of them. And I'm like, who have you been talking to? Like,
last story,
have you been living under a rock?
Last story, I will shut the fuck up. One of the beginning catalysts. Mm-hmm. One of the beginning
ASMR drinking water real quick.
One of the catalysts for my musical expansion was this girl I did theater with in high school, and she was we'll get there. She was a okay. Big music snob, but like she was cool about it. She wasn't a dick. I say that. She's like, oh, what are you listening to? I love music. What are you listening to? And I'm like, oh man, this guy's pretty good. Big fan of his discography. You ever hear of Andy Grammer?
Oh my God.
Now check this out, because like, it's fine by me if you never leave. Like, let's fucking go, bro. Like, this shit's like this. I would say it's tight.
I did like Fine by Me, though. That's a fun song.
So she picked her jaw up off the floor. She's like, did you really just fucking say that to me? Andy fucking Grammer. And I'm like, what's wrong with that? She's like, that's fucking trash. And she's like, well, what else do you have on your... Dynamite? What the fucking... Pitbull? Tyler, what is this?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to soak up the sun? Tyler Webster, what the fuck are you listening to? Oh, my God. And I'm just like... What? It's music. Is it? She's like, and she sat me down. She goes, here's the thing. There's a difference between good music and bad music, right? You're listening to bad music. She's like, don't worry. I'll help you. There's some undiscovereds that you would really, really vibe with. Have you ever heard of the Black Keys? How about the Arctic Monkeys? And I'm just
and she's
like,
just throwing out definitely not undiscovered bands.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, lady? And so I'm just
she,
like,
so
no.
She was one of those who was like, the Black Keys is peak, like no one knows about them
uh-huh.
kind of person.
And
yeah.
so I'm listening to them, and I just didn't fucking jive with it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this shit fucking slaps. And I remember, too, because she showed me Scary Monsters and Night Sprites by Skrillex before I knew what dubstep was.
Oh.
And it actually scared me. I was afraid. When it, because it was like, I was like, ooh, okay. It was just like, call 911! And I'm just like, oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. What's happening? Am I going to die? I feel like my heart's going to explode.
Oh, my God.
I was upset.
See, what's so funny to me is people who would recommend and be like, oh my gosh, you got to get off the mainstream and listen to these artists that are also just a different subset of mainstream. And I'm just like, guys, get your pretentious ass out of, like fucking Jesus.
Your pretentious ass out of fucking Jesus.
That's a tag.
The title of the episode.
Title of the episode. Get your
pretentious
ass out of
fucking Jesus. Stop fucking Jesus with your
pretentious
ass.
No, but that would
ass.
Always piss me off whenever people would do that, and then I would look up the band, and they're, like, huge, and I'm like, what? You didn't? Okay. No. And just move away. Because also, like, you know, I'm not even going to front. I think that's a really fun song. Fine by Me is a fun song,
yeah.
And I have no issue with it.
And nothing wrong with it.
It's a cute little song, and I enjoy it. So, like, I don't know, people being assholes about that always piss me off.
People put some respect on Andy Grammer's name,
It's not
bro.
Even disrespecting Andy Grammer. I just don't like when people, like, I don't know.
You gotta keep your head up. Oh!
Anyway, let's move on.
Oh
okay, so this is from, this is a pretty new one. It's from CanPan09.
It can. It's like the fuzzy duck.
What?
Come on.
No.
You've never heard of the fuzzy duck meme that's been going around?
No.
It's some fucking, it's like these like hard rock instrumentals that gets harder and harder as it continues. He goes, fuzzy duck, ducky fuzz, does he fuck? Fuck, he dies! And then the
what?
Music is like, da 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 da.
What?
And
no.
So it was like, and so it started off with like a picture of like this really cute duck. And it's like a cute duck with a bandana and a cute duck with like arms. And then it's like this absolutely jacked bodybuilder like body with a duck face. It's really funny.
I have not seen that.
I'll
but
show it
okay.
to you. It's very funny. I'll show it to you after the stream.
Okay. Well, this user titled this post, I'm not sure if my boyfriend's jealousy is acceptable. Tonight really affected me. My boyfriend and I went to an art gallery with the intention of enjoying art and seeking inspiration. I shared that my intention was about him enjoying the night after a stressful work week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going well in the beginning until we got to one particular small gallery. I liked taking my time looking at each piece, and he continued to walk ahead of me. The artist of this small gallery came up to me to discuss some of his work. My boyfriend was at the other side of the gallery. When I introduced myself, I told him my boyfriend and I love to come here we love that we came here on a whim because we were just seeking some inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see where my boyfriend was, and I felt nervous being there on my own with the artist, so I shared about my boyfriend's works. I believe this conversation went on for like 5 minutes. I thanked the artist, tried looking for my boyfriend, and he was nowhere to be found. He clearly left. I called and walked around blocks looking for him, and no answer, so I walked to his car. You can just tell he was waiting there angry. I was upset that he left me alone at the gallery when the intention was to explore together. He was upset because he saw me talking to the artist and played with the idea I was flirting with the artist and out here trying to find guys to match with. I explained to my boyfriend what happened. He said his rule is, if I don't find him in 2 minutes while talking to someone, he's leaving because I'm flirting. This just hurt that he couldn't even come up to me while I was chatting with this artist, and I thought I was doing something nice by sharing about my boyfriend's work.
So she's asking if she's the asshole?
Well, this isn't am I the asshole. This is just her posting about, like, just this. It's in the relationship advice thing.
No, he's a fucking dick. Here's the thing. In a relationship, it's supposed to be a partnership with two equal people that don't own or have dominion over one another. And you trust and respect each other enough to understand that they're a person. They're not property. They're allowed. If I'm in a relationship with someone, they're allowed. In fact, fuck, you're more attractive to me if you, of your own volition, go out and just be sociable and talk to other people that you don't need to be glued to my hip 24/7. That's more attractive to me. Now, granted, that's personal taste, but no, man, you should find someone who respects your agency and trusts you enough to not screw them over.
Yeah, it's just that to me is absurd that he was like, you get 2 minutes of talking to someone of the opposite sex or you're flirting and I'm going to be mad for the whole night.
Yeah, that's extremely domineering, controlling,
and also
and possessive.
He could have just come up to you. Yeah. He could have joined the conversation.
What a concept.
Like a person. Just walk up and be like, hey, what's going on? Hi, nice to meet you. And like, it's not even like he has to mark his territory. It's just that if he was concerned at all, popping into the conversation will let him know what kind of vibe there was. Mm-hmm. And if there was a vibe, then that's something he can address later. But it's clear that there wasn't a vibe. It was just like her even mentioning her boyfriend several times to this artist. I don't know. That's absurd to me. I found a crazy titled Am I the Asshole post, and I want to do it.
Let's go.
Okay. The user is Kind Penalty 4037. This was 3 hours ago.
Okay.
It's titled.
So there's still time.
I have not read this, so I don't know where it's going to go.
Let's go.
Am I the asshole for refusing a paternity test after a fling with my ex-husband? Backstory. Me, 23, and my ex, 24, got married when we were both 19. We were young and dumb and decided to elope on a trip together. Long story short, it was a mistake. We did not get along and separated a little over a year ago. Apparently, that wasn't the end of it because I'm now 6 months pregnant after a one-night fling with him. After I found out, I immediately called him to sort everything out. He asked if I was sure it was mine, and I said yes. He told me he wanted a paternity test just in case and that he'd pay for it out of pocket. I told him there was no need for me or my child to be put through that because he was the only one I'd been with at the time of ovulation. He said that didn't guarantee anything, and it turned into a huge argument, and I eventually hung up because neither me or my fetus needed that kind of stress. We've been very low contact the whole pregnancy to avoid any arguments, but last week he called again to bring it up, saying he won't force me to take the test, but if I don't, he doesn't want to be involved. I told him he's being unreasonable, and he hung up. I finally told my family about the whole thing yesterday, and it was very split. My mom and one of my sisters were on my side, but my mom's a conspiracy theorist and thinks the government wants their DNA, while my dad, mother, and other sister are on his. My dad told me I can't expect a man to want to be involved without knowing 100% that it's his, while my mom thinks he should trust me as we were married for 3 years. Most of my friends are on my side as well. I thought I was right at first, but now I'm really questioning. I really don't want the test. I heard it could hurt the baby. I don't know what to do. Am I the asshole?
Yes.
I kind of agree.
Yes. You are. In my personal opinion.
Now, granted, I don't know, because he's asking for a paternity test before it's out of the womb. Mm-hmm. Which I have never heard of. I thought it was once the kid is born, you get a paternity test.
I don't know anything about how paternity tests work, and any attempt to speak on it is
right. And
that's
what I'm saying
ignorance.
is that I don't know. I've personally, I have never heard of a paternity test happening while the baby is not like born yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never heard of that. I've only heard of, now granted, you know, maybe I'm wrong and that's more common than I think, but I have never heard of that. I thought it had to happen after the baby was born. And even then, I'm not sure if you have to like wait a little bit to get a paternity test or if it's safe for you to give it to the baby right off the bat. Cause I don't know what a paternity test even involves. So all of this is kind of tricky. I do definitely think that you should let him get it if he wants to get it. because, you know, just because he's the only one you were with at the time of ovulation, that does not mean that, you know, you can't, it's not like you can only get pregnant when you're ovulating.
Yeah.
You can get pregnant most times.
Regardless, she knows that he was the only partner, but he doesn't know that.
Right. He's just taking her word for it. And so
I don't trust. You can't trust these hoes.
You can't trust anybody.
Straight up. Like, that's the first thing I would have done. If I was in his position, in the exact same position, doesn't fucking matter. Okay, I'm here, right? This happened. We did it. It's a thing. Let's handle it. Right?
Yeah.
For my mental sanity, I hope you can appreciate that I would want a paternity test because we spent so much time apart to make fucking sure. Because I'll be goddamned if I'm raising somebody else's. That's funny. Meanwhile, I want to be a foster dad.
Meanwhile,
because that's a different story. But like, I'm not gonna have the rug pulled out from under me like that. It's a trust thing, and that's a huge betrayal of trust for me to be like, yeah, it's cool, and then it's somebody else's fucking.
Well,
kid.
And
that's
to be clear, it's not like, I mean, y'all clearly don't work. As just like a couple in general, you have proven that to yourselves, which means that why would there be any foundation of trust?
Exactly. So also, it's like, no. All you have to do is just look it up and it says, getting a DNA test is perfectly fine to do while pregnant. There's more to it.
Like,
but...
like getting it from the baby specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked, is a paternity test safe during pregnancy? Are paternity tests safe during pregnancy? Getting a DNA test is perfectly fine to do while pregnant. These tests are done through blood or saliva samples. So
well, it's saying, can I get a DNA test while pregnant? It's not saying, okay, so what's this one say?
Is it safe?
Is it safe while, like, to get it from the baby?
No, it's not. You're gonna die.
Wow. Wow. That was so
if
easy.
If you're praying...
What is important? Why is it important? Oh, it says it's important to take a paternity test during pregnancy, actually.
Establishes legal and social benefits, such as inheritance and Social Security. Well, obviously, I know why you should get
course.
A fucking... non-invasive paternal...
Prenatal paternity.
Yeah, get the NIP.
Oh, get the NIP. No, but, like, if you can and you look it up and it's safe for the baby and the doctor can even say, this isn't going to hurt the baby, this is just to find out for sure whose kid this is.
You take a blood sample from the alleged father and the mother, sorry not to cut across
you. No, you're fine.
To conduct a fetal cell analysis, a genetic profile compares the fetal cells present in the mother's bloodstream to the alleged father's and the test results is 99%.
So they don't even have to go in there into, like, your uterus.
Give them your fucking blood and put this bitch to bed. The fact that you're fighting it means that it's suspicious.
It is suspicious, and it's going to make the guy be like, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be involved in this if you're not willing to do this, because that tells me that it's probably not mine.
Exactly.
That tells me that
you wouldn't be fighting it if
right.
it were the truth.
And she doesn't have to pay for it. He's paying for it.
Yeah.
All it requires is her just, like, you know, doing a blood thing, which granted for me is like the end of the world, so, like, you know, I understand that aspect of it, but if that's not even
if
I knew it needed to be done, I would deal with it and be like, okay, like, we're gonna do this. No, that's ridiculous. It's safe for the baby. It's not gonna hurt them. As long as you have, like, a good doctor that, like, takes care of you, then, like, do it. Just fucking do it.
So, my answer, yes.
Yes, you are the asshole. And that's why music is telling.
And that's why music is good. Let's go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're super happy to have had you. Next week we've got a bit of a change of pace.
Yeah, so we're doing something different every now and then, and depending on just how things go in the future, if we run out of specific topics to talk about, these may become more common. But we are doing an episode that doesn't have a pre-discussed or decided on topic.
No topic whatsoever, so it's going to be, let me tell you why, topless.
Where the episode is topless, but we are not.
Bullshit. I'm showing up butt-ass naked.
No! Nobody wants that.
I'll come in wearing three shirts on the top.
Three shirts.
And nothing on the bottom, and it's just,
full
let me
Winnie
tell you
Pooh,
why, top
like,
full.
Top full. Full of tops.
Full Winnie the Pooh. No, all clothes will be present. However, the topics will not.
No, so, we're just going to come in and just, like, shoot from the hip, and it's going to be great.
Like this music episode, it's going to be free-form jazz. Just
free-form
going and
jazz.
Going.
All in 5/8 time all and with three key changes.
Just as God intended. So be on the lookout for that, guys. Yes. Super, super exciting. In the meantime, I've been Tyler.
I've been Danielle.
And this has been... Musical.
That's so dumb.
Bye!
Bye! Thank you.